Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
All right, welcome back. It is Sabres Live, and Marty, I must admit, I didn't guess which song you voted for during the commercial break.
You did not. Okay.
You want to tell us?
So,
I mean, you don't have to. You can just encourage people to get to the website and
make your own decisions. That's what I would say. Go in, listen to the songs. It's well done. It's with the go horn and then the crowd cheering and then the song kicks in. So you can listen to all of them. Today, I really felt like Swords of a Thousand Men. Like, that's what I felt like. So that's what I voted for. So that's my goal song for today. But tomorrow, I may get up and listen to all of them again and think, I like something different. But that's my one vote for today.
Sabres.com/goal song. Vote now. QR code on the screen. We'll leave it up there for just a few seconds longer as I stall. So you can grab your device. 3, 2, 1.
Okay, exactly. Enough.
Okay. 4-0 win last night. Buffalo and Columbus.
Yes.
Tonight, same two. It's here at KeyBank Center.
Yes.
What? We have not discussed this. What are you intrigued by, or who, could be either, intrigued by the most in this matchup tonight with a different lineup for Buffalo?
Benson, Norris, Thompson.
Yes.
And so we did not discuss this. I think that's the easy answer. My second answer would have been Rasmus Dahlin, just because I want to see how he feels. Look, there's been a really, really challenging summer. And last week's letter on Friday about Carolina with the heart transplant, I think that's a lot. That's a lot for anybody to deal with. Imagine like trying to get ready for a hockey season. You're the captain of the team. So Dahlin is one that I'll keep close eyes on, seeing how he is on the ice and how he feels. But again, Saturday, when when the Sabres had their scrimmage, I paid attention to Thompson, Norris, and Benson. And I love Zach Benson's tenacity. I love how hard he is on pucks, how he gets to the corners, how he plays. I just didn't see the chemistry with Norris and Thompson. Like when Benson was getting in, making plays, trying to get, you know, the forecheck going, and then he would get the puck. I feel like that next step, being able to facilitate Norris and Thompson to get opportunities or whatever, wasn't really there. It's a scrimmage. I get it. But that's what I want to see, because I felt like, okay, Quinn, Kulik, and Doan had some of that chemistry, right? And that was good. And you're talking about your top six. Tuck is going to come back. My first thought was always like, man, if Kulik and Quinn and Doan look good, would you insert Tuck with Norris and Thompson somehow, maybe play Tuck on the left side and move Benson more to the bottom six? Like, that's where my mind went this weekend. So I'm going to be zeroing in on Benson, Norris, and Thompson because I want to see if this is going to work as a top line. Duffer, you were celebrating when I said that. I think you probably have your own reasons for it, but that's why I'm looking at them.
Yeah, I mean, I just give me Josh Norris every night, and that's all I'm asking for this year. So I don't care whether it's preseason, regular. I just want to see Norris, and I want to see him play. I want to see him feel confident. I want to see him, whether it ends up being with tonight's line mates as expected, Benson and Thompson, or whether it's another spot in the lineup. Yeah, I just wish Josh nothing but the best here, and really hope that he gets off to the start that he knows he's capable of at this level. And then what that impact is, you know, will remain to be seen. And by the way, as always, we probably don't say it often enough, but like, hit us up on social at Sabres Live. I mean, we're always observing, reacting to situations throughout the course of a year. But I feel like this is the time where people's interest gets ramped back up again. And we don't want to sit here belaboring the same points. If you're really curious about something else and see potential in chemistry between others that you would love to see tried, like, get in front of it, warn us about it now. And then if it comes to light later in the preseason or regular season, you're the one that looks like the genius. So hit us up at Sabres Live and we'll, you know, do our best to, you know, try to address them as we go here. I mean, I think what's also nice and interesting tonight, based on him closing out the scoring last night, is Hellenius getting a look with Zucker and McLeod. I mean, you should get, I don't care what anybody else thinks about preseason play. You know this, Marty, as a player, you should be excited when these looks roll around.
I was excited for Hellenius, and I know it was a late period goal, third period goal, the one after the empty net, but it's the way that he scored it and the confidence as to which he came in from the right side on a right-hand shot and toe dragged and released that. And it was beautiful to watch. I didn't think that Hellenius had a really good prospect challenge. I thought it got a little bit better and he got involved more physically in the game as a, you know, game one, game two were going on. But Lindy Ruff talked about the battle that he puts into his game and what is good to see, but he does have the talent. And again, it's a 19-year-old kid here. Let's remember, he was the youngest player in the AHL last year, and he's, you know, only going to get better. But the confidence that I saw out of him last night was good. That's an opportunity for Konstantinos to play with Zucker and McLeod. That is going to be a big test, and I'm excited to see that for him and for Zucker and McLeod as well, to play with a guy that has a skill set like Hellenius. I think it's going to be good. Quickly, though, going back to Norris, and if we were in a boardroom, right, with assistant coaches, player development, scouts, whatever, and we know that Josh Norris is a center, but we also know that we need a top line that you can say, that top line, I can play it against anybody's top line. Mm-hmm. I can go out, and I know they're going to be good. I know they're going to be productive. And I don't want to jump too far ahead, but if Benson, Norris, and Thompson are not that top line, right? And they're not that, it doesn't work in preseason. And, you know, I have doubts, but I want to give him a chance. Like, Norris is a left-handed shot. Could you see Norris go to the left with Thompson in the middle and Tuck on the right just for short term, just for like the first few weeks of the season to say, let's establish ourselves as, you know, we have our best players on our top line. And I know Norris wants to play center. And Tage just said, look, I like it in the middle. And he's been moved to the wing. But I think Lindy Ruff won't hesitate if that connection, that chemistry isn't there with Benson, Norris, and Thompson to say, okay, let's slide and Tuck. Let's move Tage to the middle, Norris to the left wing, and let's see what happens there.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that trio being together just for the sake of balance.
I can't either, but I got to put it out there.
No, I mean, as we know, anything is possible. Jonathan was concerned just about if Luukkonen isn't ready for the start of the season. If he's not ready for the season, he's going on IR in the short term, right? Like they're not going to run.
IR is only 10 days. Like, it's 3 games, 10 days. It's fine. It's like a week and a half of the season.
Right. But his point was the concern of carrying 3 goalies and the risk of having to, you know, send somebody else down if you weren't like super planning to risk Kozak, let's say, on waivers. I don't see a scenario where they have, Levi can go down. No, yes. I guess I shouldn't even say this. I mean, if Levi is all world here and they believe he's better than Lyon and Georgiev, then so what if he's doesn't have to clear waivers? Reward the player that earns the spot, right?
The line that Lindy Ruff used is, Devin is going to tell us when he's ready to play in the NHL.
No, that was Kevin Adams that said that.
Was it Kevin? I think Lindy's maybe repeated it, though, but I remember that was Kevin. You're right. It's not like, hey, I'm ready to play. Like, I'm telling you I'm ready to play. It's your play, right? Your play on the ice. And I think that goes with everybody. That's the thing. I don't think that's just singling out Devin Levi. did well in the third period yesterday. Awesome. Looks like he's going to play the third period again tonight. Like, I would assume Lyon's going to start the first two. Mm-hmm. Devin goes in the third. Okay, continue that. But I think that Radim Mertka is going to tell the Sabres when he's ready to play in the NHL. I think Konstantin Alanis is going to tell the Sabres when he's ready to play in the NHL. That's what it comes down to.
Okay, so Mertka is interesting because it's unique. He's got the 9-game window, mm-hmm. you know, but it still counts as a roster spot.
Yes. You already have penciled in 8 defensemen maybe on the roster.
Maybe. That's why I said the 14 with hesitation about forwards earlier, because maybe they go 14-7 because they don't want to risk losing one of the forwards.
Yeah.
And this is where you constantly have to go, okay, well, do we risk Jones? Do we risk Bryson? Do we give Mertka the 9 games? Like, these are all real things. So, and if
teams are going to be flooding the wire at the end of camp. So then it's like, hey, maybe we have a chance to let it slide here, because every team is going to be stuck in the same scenario that the Sabres are in.
Yes, but no two situations are identical.
That's
true. And if you're looking at it from the crease standpoint, and if Levi looked better and you felt better about him being on the opening night roster, which goaltender do you think would be more likely to see the waiver wire? Georgiev or Lyon? And who would have the higher probability of being claimed?
This makes no sense. No sense at all, okay, in my head. Because I said it on the show last week that I think that if UPL is not ready, that Georgiev would probably be my opening night starter, because he was the number one goalie a year ago, and he had, you know, was leading the league in wins with Colorado and all of it. But Lyon fits better as a backup to Luukkonen because he's a veteran that has been there, that knows the role. So if Devin Levi somehow comes in and lights it up and is opening night starter, mm-hmm. then I think it's Georgiev that would be put on waivers, so you don't have 3 goalies. I think teams would be more intrigued to say Lyon as a security guy, as a backup guy, as an experienced guy, than Georgiev. That's why Georgiev wasn't signed until very late. And mm-hmm. Lyon was the first day guy. Boom, you're signing him. So it doesn't make sense that the guy that I would have as my opening night starter would probably be the first one that I would put on waivers. But mm-hmm. that's really how I see the whole scenario, the multiple scenarios playing out.
All right. I know you got to run a little earlier than usual. We actually still have lots to get to in the final segment. So, I don't know if I'll probably won't see you at the rink tonight, but
you won't see me tonight. I'll see you on this show tomorrow.
All right. there's Marty.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Is this the Sabres' new goal song? Is this in the running for the goal song? No, right? It's not. No, I don't. Paul would vote for it, probably. I voted for Swords of 1,000 Men. I had to. I had an email address and sign up for texts or something. But I wanted to support Jeremy. This is a Jeremy idea from years ago. Paul probably definitely couldn't care less about this subject. I'm sure of it. So I'm going to annoy him by bringing it up. But I voted. So I wanted to support my friend Jeremy. Swords of 1,000 Men. It's got a good sort of back and forth sort of sing along part. It's swords, the Sabres, swords. Get it. It's not a song that really exists in any other mainstream way, really. It'd be easy to just call our own, you know, as opposed to like Mr. Brightside with the Bills, which is a huge popular hit song with people of a certain age. I think Swords really works. So, Paul, your thoughts?
I don't even know what you're talking about, if I'm being quite honest with you. So...
Are you talking about
Jeff Skinner's goal song? I said he has a goal song.
Are you at these games, Paul?
When they score a goal, I've got to watch the replay, take notes, tweet the whole thing, write everything down. Goal song?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
I have no idea, nor do I care. You know, I got other things to do when the goals are scored, so I have no idea. But I have a question for you. Do you have a shark vacuum?
I do not, Paul. I
picked one up last year after Christmas for like a third of the price. It is amazing. I am mesmerized by this thing. I sit there and just watch this thing. Like it starts up on its own and it's got its little map and it goes and I just watch my whole house get vacuumed and I don't do a thing. It's really cool. I like it.
Paul Hamilton mesmerized by a vacuum.
That I don't have to push around or plug in or
I press
one button on my phone and off it goes and it's got its map and it's going
wait,
right
you,
now.
You can
you disturbed me.
Hold on.
I can't go watch
hold
it
on.
Now. I got to sit here and talk to you.
You can operate a wireless device with a Motorola flip phone? Paul, how? How is this all happening?
Should I be totally honest with you? I had the thing for 4 months, didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
A girl who was in our wedding came over with her boyfriend for dinner, and she got this thing rolling for me. She's a former high school principal, so of course she knows what she's doing. She actually had fun with it. You know, and I'm sitting there going, I have no idea what you're doing, but thank you.
That's all of this is really, Paul, it's been a while since you took a flamethrower to the show, but I would like to welcome you back to your recurring role as fire maker on the Show Up in the Bulldog show.
Our friend Brad Ryder has a show now online.
Yeah,
he said the same thing. I was on, and I immediately started talking about Budgie, and he goes, "Oh, I missed this."
Yeah,
he goes, I just forgot all about this. He goes, "I totally missed
this." Well, Brad should try working here again, and then he wouldn't miss it. He'd be sick of it because it happens all the time. That's it'd be more familiar to him. No. What we do have, one of these things that has a dock, and you can. It just went around and like got stuck under the couch, and I've never used it again. So I don't know. Maybe you've got a higher tech, better thing than
we've
got.
I will send my friend over, and she will get this thing rolling for you.
Paul, well, there's so many things I could say. I don't want help with a vacuum. I'm all right. We manage. We manage. Anyway, all right. Well, anyway, it's nice to connect with you without the pressure of the pregame show and the clock ticking and everything, although we have gobbled up 8 minutes talking about vacuums. Pretty good couple of nights, I think, for the Sabres. Mostly, I know, like the game, I watched both games, and I would say the game in Columbus, it took them a little while to maybe, as you would say, get to their game, because I thought Columbus had the better of the play at the start of Monday's game, but eventually the Sabres just kind of choked the game off. And man, last night, did they give up a scoring chance last night?
I would say the same thing last night too. It didn't take them quite as long, maybe half the first period, but I thought they got off to a slow start. They actually did get outshot in the first period, 12-11, and then Columbus had 7 shots for the rest of the game. They had 2 in the second period. For a while there, in the second period, the shots were 10-1, and Columbus was outscoring Buffalo 1-0 in the mm-hmm. period. They scored on their only, quote, shot. It was deflected. I don't even know so I wouldn't call it a, quote, shot, but it was a deflection power play into the net by Wood, who always scores against the Sabres, whether it's preseason or regular season. But, you know, Lindy Ruff was actually said, I was glad it turned into a close game, even though Buffalo dominated. I mean, Buffalo had 62 shot attempts in that game and only scored 2 goals. There is one bugaboo that's still there. They missed the net a lot. I mean, Jason mm-hmm. Zucker was actually kidding around in the post game. He played on a line with young Hellenius, and he must have missed two wide open nets that Zucker set him up for. And I go, well, you're with a 19-year-old kid out there. This is your first exposure to him, number one pick. You know, what do you think of him? And he looks at me deadpan and goes, he likes to miss empty nets. He goes, oh, no. He goes, he doesn't like open nets, is how he put it.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Well, his inability to score in tight late in that game led to Zucker getting a goal, as it turned out, right?
Exactly. He wound up getting an assist on it. You know what I liked about the kid, too, is Lindy Ruff had him out there, and I'll give you the reason why, one of the reasons why, when Columbus had pulled the goalie. They pulled the goalie about 5.5 minutes left. Buffalo never did score an empty netter. As a matter of fact, I think they only got one shot at it and missed the net. His stick was really, really good inside a minute, right at the blue line. He stopped the play. His stick was active. He killed the play, got the puck out. They came back and did the same exact thing again and got it out. And I asked Lindy Ruff about it, and he said, overall, I think he had a pretty good game. He goes, but let me tell you something. He goes, he made a play which I absolutely hated. He goes, tell me which one it was. He's looking at me. And I thought he meant when he missed the wide-open net. He goes, no. He took a stick penalty with 4 minutes left.
Right.
And he goes, that has to stop. He goes, we do that. That's what we did last year. It's a point of emphasis this year. He goes, and I'm sure he laid into this kid probably right when he got back to the bench. And he goes, I had a choice. I could have benched him, or I could have seen how he responded. And he goes, I'm glad I gave him the opportunity to respond, because he said he responded just the way he should have.
Yeah, I like that too. I mean, preseason gives you that kind of liberty. We've seen Lindy do that in the regular season with young guys too, though, over the years. I mean, I can remember different circumstances where guys, you know, big draw on your own end and the kid is out there, that kind of thing. But yeah, I like that. And, you know, I think Hellenius is in tough with the for a change, right? They don't have to rush the kid, because there's Danforth and there's the tough guy and there's Doan. Like, they've got a supplement of NHL ready, you know, experienced, maybe not a lot of experience, but still experienced NHL players that they are probably going to turn to for the NHL roster. But yeah, I've liked what I've heard about Hellenius all through this process here as camp has ramped up. It feels and reads to me like he took the guidance that they offered and worked on some things in his game, Paul.
Yeah, and I liked Austlin when he came up last year too, but I think they're doing it differently now, you know. And Kevin Adams says, no, we're not doing differently, but we have guys up here now, so now young players have to take somebody's spot. Where maybe they didn't have to take it when the Cousins and Samuelsons and those guys came rolling up and didn't have enough time in the American Hockey League. But whatever the reason, it didn't work. And I'm all for Austlin, Hellenius, just staying down there for another year. And if you have injuries, call him up. Give him a taste of it. No problem at all. You know, if you need him, bring him up. But there's no real need right now to be rushing Levi or this kid or any of them right now. The two Russian defensemen. Novikov, I think if you need him to fill in at some point, I think he's to a point now he probably can. You know, but Johnson is another one who I just keep hearing gets better and better. You know, the one thing I noticed in the first power play against Columbus right away, down blocking a shot on the penalty kill. You know, so that I'm fine with stay down there, do your thing. Even Mertka was pretty impressive in that first game. But still, there's 18-year-old mistakes. There's no need to put an 18-year-old in Rochester on defense. You don't need to do that. Give him another year in Seattle. Let him dominate there. We'll see you next year. You know, I'm totally fine with that.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline with us here on WGR. Sabres with a couple of preseason wins to start things off here the last couple of nights. They got the night off tonight, but are in Detroit tomorrow night for preseason game number 3. A lot of attention on the top line, because 2/3 of it, I think, are questionable question marks, I would say. I mean, Tage Thompson, fine, pencil him in for whatever, you know, hopefully 50 goals and 100 points. But I it's bankable. I'm going to get production. Norris is a player that was easy to forget about going into this season. When we were clamoring for another offensive player to replace Paterka, Norris is sitting there with 30 goal ability written all over him. If he can play 70 games, that's the big question. That's the question mark for him. Benson, the left winger on that line, is someone who I think topped out at 28 or 29 points last year. So can I count on that to be a top line? But boy, Benson retrieving pucks, hard on pucks, just it looks like a really good fit. And Paul, that play he made last night to Thompson was, I mean, credit to Thompson for jumping into that spot, but man, that was an elite play by Benson.
It was blind back pass, putting the puck out where you just came from. The goaltender would have no clue. The goaltender thought he was going to go behind the net and keep coming. Yeah, that was. And, you know, to me, if you're a top line winger, you need double the points he had last year. And everything else he does is great. I mean, he's great on the puck. He's great at battles. He protects the puck very well. He doesn't take any garbage from anybody. And I mentioned to you, and I'll say it again real quick because I've talked about it a couple times. When I said he could use a little time in Rochester, it was because of the offensive side, which I think he's got. You know, he's scored goals in every level he's been in. And I believe, you know, he's 20 years old. I believe he can score goals in the NHL. I just thought a little time in the AHL would help him develop that offensive side a little bit, give him some confidence in it, and then bring him back up. That's what I meant by that. Everybody kind of flipped out when I was talking about that. And that's not a demotion or anything like that. It was just to develop that offensive side of him a little bit, but that was an elite play that he made there. Norris, he has scored 35 goals in this league. He's just got to stay healthy. And he won 11 of 14 faceoffs.
Right.
And we talked about this yesterday. That's big for the power play. When you can get possession right away and you don't have to lose the draw, go down, pick it up, hope you get into the zone. But no, we didn't get into the zone. Now we got to retreat again. Man, we'll try to get in the zone again. And you've killed over a minute of your power play. That's a big thing. He wins the faceoff, you're set up and ready to go. And you get more power play time that way. So, you know, I was – you know, again, I knew he was good at faceoffs, but, you know, first preseason game, he goes 11 of 14.
Yeah, I think I liked that player when the trade happened. Of course, the injury bug is the question with him, and if he can stay healthy, I think the Sabres have a great chance to really capitalize with him in that number one center role, because he's a much better overall player. I know people were freaking out about the trade. And I was in here talking to you on trade deadline day. And, you know, for all the time, I mean, the Sabres have deserved all the criticism and more that they've gotten, I think, from in here and from you and from anyone else that's paying attention. But I thought it was out of question. If the guy can stay healthy, they got the better player in the trade. They had to sweeten it.
That's, you know, why the second round pick.
Exactly. It wasn't for the defenseman who they didn't keep. No. You know, which still was a little weird to not hang on to the guy. But whatever. It was not. It was because you had to spend up to get Norris. Because to me, he's a much better 200-foot player than Dylan Cousins will ever be. The question is, can he, you know, be counted on to be on the ice in those 200 feet regularly? That's the big question there.
And the Sabres felt it was worth taking the chance on, and I don't know if they're wrong on that, because you got a really, really good player if he can stay healthy. And, you know, I understand. And they knew there was an injury when they traded for him, so it wasn't any surprise or anything like that. So they knew that was there. But and they had to change their core. Their core wasn't right. It wasn't Dylan Cousins' fault. He's the one that got traded. But that doesn't mean it was his fault. He was just part of a core that wasn't working, and they had to change it. So I think this is a good change. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it doesn't work because of injury, it doesn't work because of injury. But I think you got to try.
Yeah. Paul, the goalies are maybe the last two nights are tough to really assess because, again, I don't think they either guy, and I should mention Levi played the third period of both of these games, but there just wasn't too much happening there. But, I mean, Georgiev is perfect on, what, 16 out of 16 or whatever it was. And Lyon gets the one tip shot that gets past him last night in two periods. Levi, meanwhile, has been perfect in the two periods he's played. What are your thoughts so far on Lyon and Georgiev? Again, recognizing it's challenging because they've played such a tight style of game.
Each goaltender has played two periods, and none of them have had to stand on his head at any point. Lyon stopped 13 of 14 in 40 minutes. Levi stopped 11 of 11 in 40 minutes. And Georgiev, as you mentioned, 16 out of 16. So that's 41 shots and 40 saves. And they're basically routine saves, which tells us at least for the first two preseason games, defensively, they are playing better. You know, give them credit for what that is. Let's not get excited.
AHL heavy lineup for Columbus last night.
It was, right. And Buffalo kind of had an AHL heavy lineup in the first game. But still, it is what it is. It's two preseason games. We're not sitting there saying they've figured out their defensive woes and they're going to be one of the best defensive teams in the NHL or anything like that. But give them credit for that. A preseason game, Dahlin plays 25 and a half minutes. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Let's get him ready because that's what he's going to be doing and played very well. But, you know, even McLeod played 22 and a half minutes. So it kind of gives you an idea maybe the usage that you might see from him also. So defensively, after two preseason games so far, so very good.
Paul, do you happen to know, has Lindy talked about it, or are we still too early in all this? You know, the idea to be harder to play against and tighter defensively and limit scoring chances and all that, like, as a mission is you know, it makes sense. Are they doing anything structurally that you know or that Lindy has said that is different? Like, are they going maybe more man-to-man in the D-zone? Is there any structural changes you can decipher at this point?
I need to see more games. Yes, there is. He talked about that in when he spoke at training camp for the first time. Didn't get into it. He's not really going to tell the other team what he's doing. I think we just need to see some more games to see, especially in the second period. They were awful in second periods. And remember, one goal would turn into three.
Mm-hmm.
It's like bang, bang, bang. And they really did a deep dive, he and the coaching staff, into that in the off season, and that's where a lot of the changes you'll see when they have the long change to the bench, things they can do to be better defensively so they don't get caught. They don't get caught with guys on the ice and can be better defensively and don't give up those chances. That's where they really felt they fell last year, and there was a lot of focus on that between the coaching staff and the off season.
So just to bring it all back home, Paul, the Sabres are conducting a fan vote for their new goal song. Not individual goal songs, but a goal song. Last year, every player that scored, we got to hear Motley Crue's Kickstart My Heart for the 90 millionth time, which I like as a riff and a fine song, but like it's a little played out. So there are four songs that are up for consideration. Two of them got played last night. And one of them being my favorite, the Swords of a Thousand Men. There's an Oasis song in there, but that's what's going on. Just I know it's, you know, above you or below you to consider, but just to fill it out, the fans are voting to determine what song we're going to hear when the Sabres score.
It was probably January by the time I figured out they had a goal song last year, but and I probably heard it how many times by that time?
January they'd only scored 13 goals by then, Paul. It was a tragically tough start to the season last year.
So Inagata DeVita is not one of the ones that they're considering right now?
Not as far. I don't think it's on the list. I'll check to make sure. All right, Paul. Thanks a lot for this, man. Appreciate you making it happen. And I don't know. Onward we go. Another game tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good.
There's our dude, Paul Hamilton, on the West Hur Hotline.
You guys, before we get to Paul, you see anything from the Sabres last night or anything jump out at you?
I thought Kesselring looked awesome. Him and Power together. So if you were looking for, you know, something positive that meant anything for the NHL roster, those two looked really, really good together. So they're playing a non-NHL lineup mostly for the Blue Jackets, so they should look like that. But, yeah, I was very impressed by Kesselring.
Georgiev and Levi got the split start.
Yep.
Shutout.
They got the shutout.
Owen's not up. Hold on, Owen.
Yeah, yeah. I thought Georgiev looked pretty good last night. He can be a little squirrely at times, and I didn't see as much of that as I had maybe when he was with Colorado, which makes sense. He was under so much pressure with Colorado. He played so many games with them and could not win. But he looked much more comfortable last night. And then Levi, nice little period.
Yeah.
Not bad. So I was really impressed with Kesselring too, and then I thought Mirko looked great too in a couple flashes
good.
Of like
he
really
was
smooth
6'6".
Throwing people around too a little bit. He started something at the end of the game because he threw a guy in front of the net. He made a pass from like his own goal line all the way up to the opponent's blue line right to Kulik that was really nice.
Yeah, there was a pickup out of the corner that he just got on his horse and got all the way up to the blue line carrying it and outletted it. I think it was up to Kulik. He looks great. I see now because he looked good and he looked good at prospects, like people are like, he's not so far away. There are still things that he's got to clean up. Like he is not always spatially the most aware, and there's some footwork stuff that definitely needs to be improved. So I think people should probably cool the brakes on like getting him here ASAP. Like he's got to go play for Seattle and play 27 minutes for them.
Yeah. I did think though through like a period and a half they were getting outshot. I think shot attempts at one point were like 17-5.
Yeah, they were getting steamrolled pretty good in the first and like the early part of the second period.
But it was 0-0.
Right.
And I was thinking, isn't this how they want to play? No. All the shots are coming from the outside, from Columbus. They're not really generating a lot of their own, but everything's kind of buckled down. There haven't been a ton of great chances on the other side. So you look up and you see, okay, they're being outshot. Shot attempts are way one-sided in one direction, but there's no score in the game. And isn't this the type of hockey they want to play?
And that's the other thing I noticed about stylistically. They looked more aggressive on pucks. Like I have thought since Lindy's been talking about, you know, we made a couple of tweaks to the system, we want to play a little differently. I would not be surprised to see them play a lot more of a tight man-to-man system in the D zone where they're just trying to smother people because they've got big, long defensemen that can skate. And I thought I saw a little bit of that last night. It's obviously one preseason game. You can't really extrapolate too much. But it looked to me like they were trying to jump on pucks hard. And that could get ugly early, but I think Montreal did something very similar to this last season where they kind of changed and moved to a more man-to-man system that can get you exposed if you're in the wrong spot. But once you get comfortable with it, you are really hard to beat. And I think that they've got players that could execute that. So we'll see if they really stick with that.
I wonder if we're going to get the roster for tonight. I mean, it's the rest of the team, right?
Yeah.
The split squad kind of deal. Around this time yesterday is when we found out who was going to play last night. So I would imagine they'll confirm, like, all right, team two goes this evening in Buffalo. Tage, Dahlin. Whoever's healthy. Is Tuck going to be good enough to go?
Is Dahlin and Tage, though, the guys you would just say you guys don't need to play?
No. You probably want
that. What's the point?
Get in shape, get reps.
Their only time, but I would be surprised if they're not playing tonight.
Shouldn't it be like football, though? Why do I need to put them out there and risk injury?
Because injury is much less likely. Knock on wood.
But they're two players who have both had injuries in each of the last 2 years that you cannot live without.
That's true.
I think hockey also is, there's a little more weight to be put into playing game speed, game situation stuff, because football you just cannot practice. Or in hockey, like you can't, it's just harder to, the situations are different. Football, you're running plays that are set. Hockey's so reactive, I think you need reps in game
speed
situations.
Well, Columbus already sent out who they're sending, and it's mostly an AHL team.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, I don't know if that impacts at all what the Sabres will do, but and the first night in the arena for a lot of fans of the year. So,
shot off the bar. Sabres there with some good puck play to get it to Zach Jones, who comes up with iron. And Sabres continue with the pressure here. 5-on-5. Over on the far wall. Here's Hellenius in front. Jason Zucker picks up the puck and scores. Sabres on top.
Still trying to narrow down a goal song for the blue and gold games this year at KeyBank Center. We got 40% of the way through the list last night, and here's hoping that this weekend against the Red Wings on Saturday afternoon, they'll be able to light it up a little more and we can have further evaluation. In all seriousness, low scoring affair, but very similar feel to the night game before for Buffalo against Columbus, which is undermanned Jackets from a star power standpoint. They are playing again tonight. It's 4 days in a row for Columbus. So if you're wondering, okay, why? Who are we seeing for them and who aren't we seeing? Okay, this is pretty good perspective as to why. But you know what? Nobody cares about the Jackets right now. The point is the Sabres, 100%. 6-1 combined, you know, results here over the two games against the Jackets.
So just to start with the goal song, a new day, a new vote for me. I decided I'd listen to all five again today. And yesterday I voted for Swords of a Thousand Men. Today it was Tick, Tick, Boom. And the reason why is that it went back to my Madden 2008, 2009. You know, like that song was really big on that game, I believe. And so it went back to this. So I voted for that today. And we didn't get to hear it last night. So it wasn't one of those last night that was played. But yeah, I think that we didn't hear the cannon on Monday in Columbus. And, you know, defensively, again, 5-on-5 yesterday. Overall, only one high-danger chance the Sabres gave up to the Columbus Blue Jackets. It was really well played defensively. Look, Lyon was good, made a couple of really good saves. Levi came in, made five, right? And if you looked at the highlights on NHL.com, and you didn't even see one of those saves because it just – there was nothing that Columbus pushed, especially late. Maybe the 6-on-5 a little bit, but I like the way the Sabres played. Again, managing the puck, even from the get-go, Duffer. So Thompson, Norris, and Benson are on the ice. They get a good shot. Dahlin one-timer, right? The first shift, 30 seconds in. They stayed on for the next face-off. But then there was about 20 seconds in, and they were tired. Tage, instead of counter and trying to attack, turned around and dumped it in and went for a change. And I'm like, okay, like I like a puck possession game when you're fresh, when you're 20 seconds in your shift, but 45, 50 seconds in your shift early in the game, dump it in, don't turn the puck over. So I felt like that was very evident in the way that the Sabres played. So you had to make Columbus really work to create some offense because you didn't take any unnecessary chances.
Do you think we will hear Tick, Tick, Boom on Saturday?
Yes, we will hear Tick, Tick, Boom on Saturday. Absolutely.
For the record, the Hives, who of course produced that song, played NHL All-Star Game in 2008. So that's vintage that we're going
and
with.
And I like that it is Tick, Tick, Boom, because that's, you know, one of the jokes in the locker room was always when a French guy would ask for tape, somebody would say thin or thick, and they would be like, can I get the tick tape or the tin tape? So I like that it's Tick, Tick, Boom. So it just goes back to my speaking, so that's good.
Yes, and I don't know, I guess you have to hear it in the moment. I think today's vote by you should maybe be the front runner. That's what my gut is telling me right now, but we'll see.
I do like it. It's a little different now. I do believe after a quick search that Edler with the Vancouver Canucks had that as his own personal goal song, maybe like 7, 8, 9 years ago when teams started to do that a little bit. But you know what? Like, we know what Kickstart My Heart is like. We had it last year as a goal song when the Sabres were blue and gold. Black and Red, we know that it's sung too by Blur, going back to the late 90s and early 2000. But yeah, I feel like Swords of a Thousand Men and Tick, Tick, Boom now are my two favorites.
So you didn't like Every Time We Touch when that ended up being the game-winning goal on a...
And I like the song itself. Like, that goes back to my pooch, pooch, pooch.
Right, I was thinking
of
you last
night. In the club, moments, right? Like, it goes back to that, but I don't feel it in the game situation. And, you know, I don't feel the lyrics in that game situation. I just, it feels good. Like if I was out and had a few pops and I was like, okay, let's get going. And that song came on, it would be a different vibe, but I just don't feel it in the game moment.
Well, the winning moment was produced directly, if not unintentionally, by Hellenius to Zucker. And it was, you know, it was at a, I mean, the Sabres could easily have been miles and miles ahead in last night's game. But they truly did kind of just stick with what they were doing. They ended up having a massive disparity in shots and all the other metrics that they did in Columbus.
Again, mostly in the second half, right? It's something good to see. Mostly in the second half. You take over in the second half.
But even like in the second period, I thought one of the really impressive lines, again, you're factoring it up against, you know, the opposition, but Neuchev with Lecision and Rosén, they produced far more high danger chances than any of the other forward lines last night. I mean, that may sound strange given how dominant Norris, Benson, and Thompson were from a shot attempt standpoint, but when that Lecision line got some looks, they were dandy ones. And I was, you know, Neuchev missed, you know, the end of last regular season, the playoffs, had long recovery of off season. It's a really tricky and challenging spot for him in his career right now. He's trying to show why there was that draft interest in him. I thought there was a little flash of his best at the end of the Prospects Challenge when he got on the Monday game. Mm-hmm. And I definitely think if you were paying attention last night, you would see why Neuchev is appreciated for his instincts in the game. He has very, very, very good instincts. And Lecision looked the part of a guy that can help Rochester this year for sure. And playing between Neuchev and Rosén last night looked like a trio. And who knows what the trios will be. There is tons of depth potentially in Rochester this year. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention that line from last night.
That's a really good point. And, you know, like I'm watching it on Sabres.com. And I'm like kind of wondering, like, who's 13? Like, I'm thinking, okay, that was Josh Norris last year when he came in, but he switched to 9 and 6, and who's 13? And I had to go to my game sheet, and that's Lecession. And number one, I laugh because I was a big fan of his dad when he played for Quebec early in his career, Curtis Lecession. So I was like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, the son, and he was born in Carolina when dad played for the Hurricanes. And so there's hockey pedigree in there. And I thought he stood out, like number 13. Like the number stands out, but I thought he stood out. Neuchev, I saw him practice in the Prospect Challenge because he was still not ready to come back like the first day, right? So the very first game that they had in the Prospect Challenge, the Friday morning, I was watching their morning skate. We had the show from Lecom Harbor Center.
Yep.
And he was still not ready to come back. He did come back a little later, but I worked him like practice and attack the net and do some like skill drills. And I was like, whoa, there's something there. Look, he was listed 5'11", maybe 170 pounds, obviously a slender, smaller figure, but everybody's been talking about how he gained some muscles and he gained a little mass and it showed. And I thought Rosén played well with those two. So yeah, that line was good. Hellenius for me was the one that stood out the most. Mm-hmm. He had a chance in the first period when Zucker gave him the puck. He came out down the right wing, his off wing, put it over the net, right? Fedotov was caught out of position. Yes, there was a little bit of an accidental play on the Zucker. I think Hellenius is trying to make a play, but good players sometimes by losing the puck, by being in the right position, will make a good play. Mm-hmm. So Zucker ends up potting it in an empty net, basically, for the 2-1 goal. But I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh, like you have McLeod, you have Zucker. If you've got an injury, would you want to put a Hellenius, young, talented player on that line? I would think that Konsa is going to start in Rochester, but
yes,
as soon as you got an opportunity and it is to play with a couple of veterans or on a skilled line, instead of elevating a Krebs or a Malenstein or no, grab one of those guys that deserve that opportunity, like Hellenius, and put him there. And I thought he jumped ahead of the line right now in the way that he's responded after a so-so prospect challenge.
Well, in the eyes of some, this has been a long-time problem within the game of hockey, is never promoting skill when skill is needed in the lineup, right? You carry 12, and as I have been told about this, not being, you know, it might have preceded my era of totally understanding the game a little bit, but back when the rosters were smaller and you didn't have as many forwards to choose from, i.e. fourth line players, that was more of the door for the higher scoring AHL player to come up and actually get real minutes as opposed to being put in a 5 to 7 minute situation on a fourth line. And I think everything you're talking about is exactly what they're experimenting and or hoping with Hellenius right now. And that doesn't necessarily mean that he has passed Östlund or Rosén on the depth chart, although his draft pedigree puts him in a place to do that. But he's younger. And I just, if anything, the other guys who are not named Hellenius should see this.
Oh, right? 100%.
And it's like, holy cow, I would love to play well enough in the first month of the season to get called up if necessary and play with Zucker and Tuck or Zucker and McLeod or whomever, right?
Or Thompson and Norris, because maybe there's that opportunity. And it goes back to 20 years ago, and I know it's a long time ago, but in 05-06 when we started having injuries, what did they do? They called up Pominville. They called up Roy. They put Vanek in a scoring position. Mm-hmm. They had Drew Stafford moving up. You had skilled players being given that opportunity, right? So much so that when those guys, I remember when Briere and Dumont came back from the sports hernia, it was like, oh, what are they going to do with the Pominville and the Roys? But no, they've earned their spot by that point. The team was better. It was a new NHL based on skills and scoring. And look at what happened. So I think you've got to look at it that way.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
And everybody's got a role. And, you have to fill in your role. But if you do have an opportunity to play more meaningful offensive minutes... Mm-hmm. And Hellenius was given that opportunity now. He responded. And I love, and you talk about other players. Pay attention to what Lindy Ruff is talking about. Mm-hmm. Lindy did not like Hellenius' penalty with about 4 or 5 minutes left. This is a hooking penalty. Keep your stick on the ice.
Yeah.
He put him back out there, and he loved the response. And now, so
would
now
he put him back out there in a regular season game, though? That's the.
Well, you know what? you're probably right. But my thinking is that. Okay, how would I say this? Learn things in preseason too as a coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And I tell this story of me and John Tortorella. He pulled me out of a game in New York against the Islanders. I gave up 2 goals, I think 3 goals in the first 12 minutes, and he pulled me and put Lundqvist in. And after the game, I went into the office. I said to Torres, and I was a veteran, and I said, listen, I know I didn't have the good start, but I think I can get myself out of it and keep it at 3 for the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. I can flip the switch and give me that opportunity. You don't know me as much. That was my first year. Give me that opportunity. And 2 weeks later, we had a game against the San Jose Sharks at home at MSG, and people are screaming, "We want Lundqvist." It's 3-0, right? And I looked over at the bench, and Torts gave me the Heisman, "You're staying. Show me what you got."
Yeah.
And we ended up winning 4-3 in a shootout. Now, different situation. I'm a veteran. I've been a number one. I've played, 500 games, whatever. But I do feel that if you're Lindy Ruff and now you've tested that on Hellenius, not saying that he's going to take 5 bad penalties and every time you're going to put him out there, But one mistake doesn't mean you sit on the bench. And it means learn from it, especially early in the season. Build on that.
And this is a very isolated example because it's a top pick that had been playing well and had earned the right, you know. And so that in itself is a lot like if Thompson takes a penalty with 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
Is he not going to get used when he comes out of the box? Probably.
He's coming back.
Probably going to get used, right? But what I was going to say when you broached this subject about the Hellenius penalty, I really liked the tone with which Lindy spoke about. Now, obviously, there's no reason to be inflammatory. Don't tell that to Dean Evason. But there's no reason to be inflammatory at this time of year.
Or Pete DeBoer, who doesn't have a job now because of it.
But incredibly, and this is the circle of life and how things come around, remember how Lindy, and you dropped Darcy's name not long ago, so how Lindy and Darcy approached the new era of the NHL coming out of the work stoppage of 04-05. Mm-hmm. The number of times Lindy talked about where the stick can't be. Oh my gosh, I feel like I heard that. Oh, and guess what? The Sabres came out of the work stoppage, and I would have to do some fact-checking here, but it felt like they were on the right side of power play advantages for a while before other teams around the league caught up and before the league started to change back a little bit, which is part of how Anaheim won the Stanley Cup in 2007.
If we had a barfing emoji back then, every time, like, there would have been a quote on social media, like, we need our sticks on the ice and can't have sticks parallel to the, it's going to be hooking. Yeah. People would have been replying with barf. Like, we've heard it, like, enough now. Mm-hmm. But we had referees come into training camp because it was new for the referees too to like call penalties, and it was like as soon as your stick got up, penalty, and it was like nauseating. It was so bad, but it helped, and I think that's a good lesson for Hellenius. Look, it's training camp. You're gonna get called. Would you get called on that penalty in March or April or even in the playoffs? I don't know. But you're getting called now, so be careful on that. Mm-hmm. But go back and, you know, give me another shift. And I think if you're Kulik or Roseanne or Austin or, and you're seeing that, like, okay, like this is a team and a staff that's not gonna sit down and you know, kind of not even look your way. They're gonna give you that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and take it. And Hellenius took it last night.
Lots to get to around the NHL, taking your thoughts as well. So why don't we, as we try to put a bow on last night's victory, which was 2-1 over Columbus. So they take the first and only two preseason meetings with the Jackets. Now it's two against Detroit starting tomorrow and then Saturday afternoon in Buffalo. But Detroit tomorrow on the road, that's a game that'll be streamed on Sabres.com and heard right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. So you get two with the Wings and then two with the Penguins to close it out. But all the talk, much of the talk going into last night and maybe flies in the face of your opinion, was Benson with Thompson and Norris. Now, I was excited, obviously, because really wanted to see Josh Norris get going and have a strong start. Every single number points to the fact that they had a strong start, so much so that producer Jeff solicited one word from our audience today on social to describe this line. So electric playoffs. Nope, not with a question mark. Sorry, playoffs. Skilled, gorgeous, smooth. I'm reading this on the fly. I have to be careful. Yeah. We don't have any bad ones in here. Magic, temporary, speculative, intriguing, and the one that resonates with Marty most on a one-word answer, fun to watch.
Yes, that's good. So here's the deal, Duffer. I'm speaking to everybody that's in my age category now. Like, I had to be fasting for a couple of days because yesterday was my very first colonoscopy I'm sharing to the world, but it's like, it's what it is.
I'm raising a glass of Metamucil to you right now.
Thank you very much. You know, the fiber. So not only did I have my first meal in a couple of days and I was enjoying what I was eating yesterday, Benson made me eat my own words because on the show yesterday, I was very, very what could I say? Concern
cautiously,
by this.
Cautiously, I don't even know if you were cautiously optimistic. That might be the wrong phrase too.
No, yeah. I was concerned with the fact that Benson, I didn't think would fit with Norris and Thompson. I love Zach Benson as a player. I think he's that Claude Lemieux, Brad Marchand type that goes in, gets the puck, works hard. But does he have the skill level to be a top-line winger and then to find Norris, to find Thompson, to make plays, not just enough on the forecheck, but in transition, in the neutral zone? And I was eating my own words as I was enjoying my first meal in a few days, because every time I saw Benson with the puck, there was confidence. There was confidence in the neutral zone. Mm-hmm. Finding Tage coming down the right side for a good shot in the first period off the rush. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the play on Thompson's goal. But I was very, very pleasantly surprised with how those three played together. Now, they did play against a very less than NHL level top line yesterday. Mm. But when you look at the 5-on-5 numbers, they dominated the, I think the shot attempts for that line were 17-1 at 12-1 shot attempts when they were on the ice. So they dominated, but the plays and the chemistry was there. So thank you, Zach Benson, for making me eat my own words yesterday. It's only one preseason game. I'm going to say this, like, let's not go get all like, woo, this is a top, like, okay, let's see it, you know, consistently being able to do that. That's why we got somebody saying temporary was one, like, okay, it's good, but temporary was one. Skilled, gorgeous. I like it. I'm on board with all of that, but I'm going to need to see it more, and I'm pleasantly surprised.
52 years later, after thank you, Sabres, we get thank you, Benson.
Thank you, Benson. Thank you, Benson. Thank you, Benson.
This could be a thing. Oh, man.
No, but it's true, though. Like, I heard Jeremy and Joe talk about it this morning on WGR, saying, what's his love? Where can he go? And Sneaky Joe said, I think Benson can get 70 assists. And Jeremy White put the brakes on that. He goes, listen, there was four players with 70 assists last year in the NHL. They were
Kucherov,
MacKinnon, and Mitch Marner. Mm-hmm. So listen, Benson is not a 70 assist guy. No, he's probably not 40. Even a 50 assist guy.
Well, 40 would be unbelievable.
40 would be great.
40 would be unbelievable.
15 goals would
look
be
at his
55
career point.
Points.
I mean, yeah.
He had 28 points last year, whatever it is. Like, let's pump the brakes. But I did like what that was put together. So I'm gonna give it a chance.
Well, it's possible that through all of this, the one figure, and maybe this is why we don't do it all the time, but it was his first preseason game, and he tends to dominate, and it's Rasmus Dahlin, right? Like, there were more oohs and ahs in the arena last night created by Dahlin, which is often the case. And he was a presence, you know, before that goal that ultimately put them in the lead with his physicality. And that's the stuff. Like, just let guys feel the all scenarios impact of Dahlin, right? He can make you look silly inside of his zone, trying to get it out, more often than not at the offensive blue line. But wherever he pinches down to engage physically, I think he still, despite this being year number 8, I think he surprises people with the pop that he, you know, hits people
thickness,
with.
The thickness and the heaviness that he can show. Now, look, in the first period, there was a couple moments in the defensive zone where he was a little lackadaisical and casual and didn't end up in the net. If that ends up in the net, that's the first clip on social media. Look at, but again, let's go back to, if it doesn't end up in your net, if you're getting a save, it makes the whole narrative different. And I'm not saying that Lions saved the world last night, because he didn't have to. I'm not saying that Georgiev saved the world the night before, made some good saves. But there was some turnovers. I think the Sabres were credited on the game sheet with 11 or 12 giveaways in the game. Mm-hmm. So there was some giveaways. Darlene, I think, had a couple.
Yep.
But you're not looking at it negatively because it doesn't end up in the back of the net. And then you say, oh, look at that play at the blue line by the Columbus bench when he put it through the feet of the defender and came out the other way. The one-timer, the heaviness on the pinch right there before the Zucker goal. Like, okay, that's great because this is what we need to expect out of Rasmus Dahlin. And there's going to be some casual plays defensively. And sometimes they will end up in the back of the net. But when it doesn't, we forget about those very easily.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.